Welcome to another glorious episode of Navigating Mindfulness, where we are taking all of our personal development tools, tips, and tricks and applying it to life as we're building our businesses. I am one of your gorgeous hosts, the one and only Cheryl Sutherland, joined by Lisa McGale, and we are here with an amazing guest. Now, I'm always excited for our guests, but the fact that this woman had to wake up at 5, like she's here 5 a.m. her time. I wouldn't have done it. I would be sleeping. So like champion, like I'm so proud of you right now. From the other side of the world, we have one and only Jessica Williamson. She is actually an award-winning mindset and business coach. And in addition to things, a serial entrepreneur. So if anybody knows about the entrepreneurial process, the mindset shifts that you have to make, and then really how to accelerate and excel in this industry, it would be her. So Jessica, thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you so much. And yes, it is 5 a.m. It is very dark and it's the middle of winter here in Australia. And believe it or not, we do actually get winter here. I'm definitely not as cold as you guys.
Oh
but
my gosh. That cold. Is hilarious.
So yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, where do I start? I always think, you know, how much time do we have? Because I've started 5 businesses in the last 5 years. I have grown, scaled, and exited them. And, you know, along my journey, I'd realized that firstly, I need to slow down a little bit for my own sanity. But secondly, I can grow and scale businesses. I know how because I've done 5 in the past 5 years. Now, I definitely did not wake up and start 5 overnight either. I just want to disclaimer that a little bit because people do get shiny object syndrome these days and just want to go full ball, you know, let's go and start 5 businesses. Jess did it, so I'm going to do it. But I started with 1 business, and that business was Etay Swimwear, and we have quite a following in the US as well. And I launched that business with the mindset that, hey, I'm going to just launch a business. It's going to be global from day one. And how am I going to do it? So my mindset from day one was pretty much in that growth mindset. I never thought about, let me just launch a business and practice here in a small town here in Australia, or let me just go small. And then once I have some success, I'll be more confident to go big. I just decided I'm going to create a swimwear brand. I can see a gap in the market, and yeah, it's going to be global. So I had zero experience in fashion, zero experience in business, zero experience in anything. I was 22. I was working in digital marketing at the time and pretty much had no money, you know? So there were many different things that I could have looked at as barriers and said, probably not the right time, or maybe I'll wait until I have more knowledge or more experience or any of these things. And I just didn't. The thought never crossed my mind. I just thought, well, here's my idea. What am I going to do about it? But now that I realize, after speaking to so many other females in business, that this is not the way most people think. And so that's what really ignited my passion for mindset and the tools and how that can really help people in business by combining that with actual practical strategies to get you to your goals. So that's a little bit about me in the nutshell. The other four businesses were, one was an influencer travel agency. So I got to go to Bali, the Whitsundays, Fiji with top influencers all over the world and organize these trips to promote brands, to promote destinations. I also ran an events venue here in Perth, so a physical business, you know, a local sort of business rather than a global business. I was doing some photography, and obviously now I do my business coaching. So I've pretty much done all the business models you could try. So I've had a wide range of experience in that. And I think underlying all of that is 100% mindset the whole way along.
Okay, so what you just said, there was like 15 questions that came up for me. And so I was like, oh my God, yes. So first things first, I just want to first of all congratulate you for just having the mindset that I can do this and that this is going to be fun. One of the things that you actually touched on that I thought was really inspiring is, and something that not a lot of business owners do is they really start with what is going to make me happy? What does this look like at the end result? Like, I want to have a global brand. I want to be able to, you know, build my business around the lifestyle I want to have. You want to be able to travel and do all these things. Okay, what business is going to serve me to do that? And I think most people start off thinking, this is a cool idea, or this is something I'm passionate about, or I think this is great, but not build their business in a way that when it scales or that as it grows, that it's working for you and giving you the lifestyle that you deserve versus the opposite way around.
Yeah. So, and I definitely made that mistake. You know, I started the physical events, you know, it was basically a venue that you could hire out. It was a converted warehouse. And I just did not love it. It gave me so much anxiety to the point that my whole body, like sometimes I had like these anxiety attacks, and I don't really have anxiety, you know? So I definitely made these mistakes because I was like, wow, this is a trending kind of thing. People are doing this now. People are making money. Let me try it out. But the thing for me was that I tried things, I failed quickly, or decided the business was very successful. It was booked out every single week without me doing really much at all. I'd scaled this business for an extra income stream. And so from that point of view, it was successful. But for me, it was not fulfilling, like you said, what I really want out of life. Like, money is not everything. It's, you know, for me, I've realized actually I like a slower paced life. I don't want to be on a plane every 3 weeks that I was before COVID. I was flying all over the place. And so I've definitely made those mistakes, but I think the key is to fail fast, pick yourself back up. Don't look at yourself as a failure either, because I hear so many people having this negative self-talk or these limiting beliefs around, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. But it's actually a win, because now you've learned something about yourself. You've learned that you don't actually enjoy this. So I actually sold the business and exited that. So, you know, for me, it's always been mindset. If I didn't have that mindset, I would have gone into a downward spiral and self-sabotage at every corner, because I would have decided that I was a failure because this business didn't work out. So I love that you sort of touched on that point.
Yeah. And okay, so the question that I had, oh, this is so good. This is going to be such a comp. We might have to do a part two. I'm not going to lie. One of the things that I really love that you said is that you started a business and then you exited, you scaled it and you exited. So you were just like, okay, I'm complete. Now there's so many times that people will start a business and then it's not working, or, you know, it scales, or it's not giving them the, you know, that little zhuzh that they're not getting anymore. How did you know that it was time for you to like, to actually exit the business? How did you know, okay, yeah, I'm ready for a new idea and to let this go? Cause I know for myself, my business and in growing it, like it's so much a part of me. It's very intrinsic to my own, like, it feels like a child, for lack of a better word. Right. So how do I choose to separate myself? How do you choose, and how did you separate yourself so much from this particular object, from this particular career, and say, okay, yeah, I'm done with this, I'm at peace with this, and now it's time to do something new?
Yeah, I think a few things. I mean, with the events business and obviously the influencer travel side of things, they both invoked in like an unknowing anxiety in me. And so even with the travel one, it was a lot to manage these influencers who sometimes were a little bit difficult to deal with, you know, so there was elements of that. But I mean, that one was sort of almost decided for me. COVID hit and we're not going anywhere. I'm not sure how much, you know, is broadcast about what Australia's situation is right now, but we're basically locked into our country. We're pretty safe over here, but it's Australia and we're not going anywhere. So I haven't been able to do that. But in terms of knowing, I mean, for the events business, I was actually, the anxiety was just so much. So on the weekends, people were hiring the venue and I would be trying to enjoy my weekends. But every Saturday night, I would be watching a movie with my partner or something. And there would just be this anxiety about what are they doing at the venue? And so I did as much as I could. You know, I only let 70-year-olds have their birthday there and tried to do what I could. But somehow a 70-year-old birthday party ends up with the toilet door smashed and, you know, all of these destruction things happening. And, you know, it was just causing me so much anxiety around what are these people doing there. And so I decided, well, actually, I don't want that at all. It's not fun for me. So that was almost a no-brainer. I was like, how do I exit? Like, get me out of this, almost to that point. And even the exiting process was a bit of a nightmare. And in the end, you know, I ended up just almost handing it in because there were a lot of hurdles and I just knew that my health is more valuable than this. And so it's almost about knowing what your values are. And the way that I coach my clients is we don't just look at growing the business. I hear so many female entrepreneurs come to me and they say, Jess, I want to hit six figures, or Jess, I want to grow my business. The problem with that is they haven't accounted for what that, how that might impact the rest of their life or their values. And so I almost combine life coaching with business coaching, with mindset coaching, and all of the things, because we don't operate in silo, especially as females. You know, we have all these extra societal pressures, which we're working through, but, you know, we have a life. We sometimes have kids. I don't have kids yet, so I don't have that, you know, extra thing to deal with, but we've got friends, we've got partners, we've got fun, we've got relaxing, we've got self-care time, we've got all of these things that we have to put together. So in that moment, I knew that my health was worth more than this money that this business was bringing in, that's for sure. So I just decided, look, what's the next step? How do I exit? And I had never exited a business before. I just kind of let it fizzle out and that was it. So with that business, I had to then learn what the next steps were. But I think you always know deep down. And so if you lose your passion, then that's something else. I mean, for me, for my coaching business, I could continue to pivot that because it's my personal brand. So it's basically an extension of me. And so I was doing photography on the side through that. I was doing collaborations on Instagram. I was doing, you know, a bunch of different things, and I still do because it's under my personal brand. And if my interests change, well, my brand can change because it's, I'm a human, right? Whereas these other businesses, if you just know deep down, there's something telling you this is not quite right. I actually work through this with my clients in that before I help them do anything, if they say, Jess, my goal is to reach six figures, I don't just say, great, six figures, here's how to reach six figures, bam, 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 go and do these things. Because what if that's not actually what they want? What if that's what society says they want? Or it's the buzzword on Instagram right now, six figures, you know, and they've just heard that and thought, oh, that sounds great. That's probably my goal. We always have to dig deep first because you always know. It's usually in your subconscious mind. Maybe you don't consciously know. So we dig deep and actually make sure, well, if I'm going to coach you to get somewhere, let's make sure we're getting you to the right place. Because if we get you to the wrong place, you get there and then you realize, well, now I've done all this work and I need to move and now we need to go in a different direction. So you always kind of have this knowing, I think. But look, interests change over time. I don't know if I'll be doing coaching forever either. So I think it's just knowing when the right time is for you and not putting so much pressure on yourself or thinking that you're a failure because you chose the wrong direction or because you chose the wrong thing, because you've probably learned a ton in the process. And that's why I've sort of started five different businesses. And I feel like now I've done so much personal development, so much coaching myself, that I know myself pretty damn well to know that coaching is pretty much what I was almost born to do. And it sounds cliche, but putting together all of my different interests and strengths and things like that, I've been able to build a business around who I am. So I wouldn't have been able to do that 5 years ago when I started my first business. I had to go through those other businesses to get myself here. So it's all part of the journey. And don't put too much pressure on yourself if you are not quite there yet, because every obstacle, you will learn something new about yourself and you'll be able to then create a business that works for you.
That's so great. I now have a slew of questions for you, but I'm going to do it a little bit more like rapid fire.
Okay.
Is that cool? You mentioned you had 5 businesses that you sold in 5 years. I heard swimsuit, global business, you sold that. The second one was...
I actually haven't yet sold that, just in, you know, it's currently happening. So I can't say too much.
No, that's fine. But I mean, so 5 businesses that you're moving from. So the 5 businesses, just so we have an understanding about who you are, again, rapid fire style, you have 5 businesses. One of them is a bathing suit company. The other one is a coaching business. One of them is a, what kinds of industries are you in? Did I hear rental property in there?
So the events venue. So it was a warehouse converted into an events venue that people could hire out for baby showers, bachelorette parties, you know, things like that.
So event venue. You also had travel. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to do rapid fire. Problem. Yeah. So that's travel, 4.
Yep. So the influencer travel agency. And then I was doing photography as well.
Okay. So 5. So we have photography. Mm. We have the info. Okay. So, and all of those are set to be sold, or you're going to be letting them go in order to focus on the coaching. Is that what I'm hearing?
A few different things. I mean, the influencer agency, the travel, that just stopped due to COVID. We can't travel. So that has just stopped. And I realized it's not something I'm interested in. So it's just stopped. The events venue, I exited, sold that business. And the photography, I still do it here and there, amongst, you know, through my personal brand, but I've stepped away from that a little bit because it again takes either time away from my own fun or time or business, you know, in the coaching. So, and a swimwear business is still run by me, but I've stepped out of it more, but we might be undergoing some changes on that end as well.
So in the very beginning, you mentioned that you had a digital marketing background and you decided to build this global brand. So I could see the confidence building come from knowing what digital marketing is like and what it's capable of doing. And I can see having the confidence to know exactly what it's like. You know the steps to execute, you know the results that you're going to get. So that was really, really good. So time and money are typically the barriers for most obstacles in people's minds. It doesn't sound like you had those barriers at all. How do you relate to your clients?
I definitely did have those challenges. I just chose not to accept them. And I think that's the biggest thing. People have these barriers. And look, ask yourself, is it really a business that I want to start? Because if you're going to let yourself get stopped by a lack of time or lack of money, then maybe business isn't necessarily for you, or maybe you need to work with a mindset coach to work through that. I was working full time, but I was on the most minimal wage. I was fresh out of university or college for you guys. So I didn't have any real money behind me. I did understand digital marketing, but I'll tell you, working in corporate digital marketing is a whole other world compared to small business digital marketing. And in the beginning, I did try and apply some of the strategies that I was using in my full-time job because I had a really advanced knowledge and skill set in that digital marketing for the corporate world. I was managing $500,000 budgets every single month just on Facebook ads alone. But I applied the same strategies to my business, burnt a ton of cash, and stopped that pretty damn quickly.
Wow. Tell me it wasn't 6 figures per month, $500,000,000, right?
No, I did not invest that much, but I still applied the same strategies on my very small budget. It doesn't work. So I had to get creative very, very quickly. Second thing, I was working full-time hours for a whole first year of running my first business, plus a 2-hour commute every single day. So that, like, where's the time, you know, where's the time to do anything? So I got creative and I didn't take it as a no, but I knew that I was passionate about this business. So how do I make it work? To be honest, I used my lunch break to go to the post office. I, you know, utilized every extra hour of my day. Sleep is always important for me because if I don't get sleep, I can't function. So I would never sort of pull all-nighters, But I would work until I would go to bed. I would go to bed. I would wake up. I would then pack the orders, rush to work, you know, barely even eat that year. I didn't, you know, I wouldn't have eaten dinner or anything if I wasn't living at home with my mom cooking me food. I didn't prioritize health. I did not, like, on the weekends, I would hang out with my boyfriend and that would be me sitting in his bedroom on my laptop doing business work. So I prioritized the business over everything else, which I do not recommend people do, and we can do it in a smarter way, but I was figuring it out and I knew that I needed to use that time to figure it out. So it comes down to priorities, because if you're prioritizing, you know, I said no to going out drinking with my friends as a 22-year-old. Most people are going out on the weekends partying and having fun. I said no. So if you are finding yourself, you know, prioritizing everything else over the business, firstly, ask yourself, why are you doing this? Because sometimes it may just not actually be something that aligns with you. Maybe it's the society, maybe it's friends or family or someone else creating this desire or pressure in you. So maybe it's not actually something that aligns if you're not prioritizing it. Or secondly, maybe there are limiting beliefs in there. And almost, I actually sent out an email to my database saying self-sabotage is bullshit because it doesn't exist. Like, why would we sabotage ourselves? But that comes up because our values are elsewhere. And if your business starts to harm something that you value, well, your brain is going to say, this business is harming me, so I'm going to harm the business. And so that's where self-sabotage actually comes from. So that's where I think, if this is really something that you do want to do and you're coming up against these barriers or almost excuses with lack of time and lack of money, then find a coach, find someone who has done it, because I help my clients do this who are full-time mums with tiny kids at home all day. Her partner works away for whole months at a time. He works in the fishing industry. He's gone. Plus she works a part-time job. Plus she's grown and scaled her own kids swimwear brand globally with the help of me to help her prioritize the things that matter. So I've got plenty of examples of other people doing things with very minimal money, very minimal time. And so I think those are almost excuses. If you want it, you'll make it happen, or you'll find a way to make it happen. That's where I got creative and basically made up my own strategies. I was like, well, I've got no money. These corporate strategies don't work. How can I gain awareness on my brand with no money, with basically no time? What can I do? And so I asked myself the question and I just tried a bunch of things. I tried so many different things till I figured out what worked and what didn't work. And so that's where I can really help my clients now in saying, well, actually, you know, I'm not reading from a textbook, because to be honest, textbooks don't work in small business world. I've actually done it. I've tried all these things. It's taken me 5 years to get here, so that you almost don't have to. But yeah, I definitely think time and money don't have to be an excuse. You don't need them.
So one question that I do have is that, especially, I hate to say that my products are for female entrepreneurs, because I mean, of course, as we know, gender is a construct, whatever. And like, I intentionally am like, no, this is for everyone. It's for everyone. But we also know that the way that we've been socialized and the way that people address things and, you know, go at things, that when you are, when you identify as female versus male, that you are going to go and have different struggles and have to go through different things. So for you, was there a particular reason that you decided that you wanted to focus on female entrepreneurs versus those who identify as male? And then if so, do you feel like this is kind of the beginning of something? Like, what is the next step, do you feel like, for female entrepreneurs in order to really establish themselves?
Yeah, so I guess for me, the main idea came from the fact that I was a very young female and there wasn't really anyone to look to. And I feel like there are plenty of amazing coaches or mentors or teachers out there who are in that more male energy. And so the reason why I sort of specified females is, firstly, being more niche, you can then attract the right people. But secondly, I feel like it's more about the energy, not necessarily about if they identify as this or that, but I feel like it's the female energy that I really am drawn to working with. And so that's usually more what I'm comfortable with in myself, because we actually get to choose our clients, right? We often think that we start a business and our clients choose us, but we get to choose who we work with. And so I wanted to work with female entrepreneurs who have lifestyle businesses or who have businesses that I would actually be a customer of, because if I'm interested in their product, in their brand, in what they're doing, then I can help them more. If I'm working with, let's just use like a mechanic, for example, yes, females probably own mechanics, but I still probably wouldn't work with that business. I don't know anything about cars. I'm not really interested in mechanics, and it's a bit more of a bricks and mortar, whereas I work with people who do online style businesses as well. So that's probably more so where I've really found my niche, is more in the, I guess, feminine energy of business side of things.
That's really cool that you know that. Like that you know that. That's cool.
Awesome. And then for that second part of the question, what do you think is going to be the thing that really establishes female entrepreneurs, like really helps them feel solidified in growing their businesses?
I really do think it's mindset. And look, I think a lot of people will come to me for coaching and they're like, well, I've actually had some people say, Jess, I don't want the fluffy mindset stuff. I just want the strategies. My mindset's great. And look, those clients are not for me, because if they're not willing to work on themselves, then I can't help you. Because just this week, two of my coaching calls have almost been 100% mindset. Now, mostly I work on the strategy side with a little bit of mindset to help them going. But these two clients, they were coming up against the same challenge and they were saying, I hate Instagram. I can't do Instagram. How about I try Pinterest? Or how about I try, you know, put my products on Etsy? Let me try this and let me try that. And I said, stop, because it's not about the platform. There's something deeper. And so we dug deep for like an hour and a half and it was uncomfortable. But so often we don't actually dig deep ourselves. And secondly, we don't usually even realize we're doing it. So she was looking for all these different strategies. She wasn't really implementing what I was giving her. I've given you a blueprint. I know how to grow a business. We can do this. But she wasn't doing it. And so there was a deeper reason why these challenges were coming up. It's not that you need the latest new hack. You don't need the latest new strategy on Instagram or social media. You need to work on yourself. Otherwise, you're going to come up against this challenge every single time. We dug deeper and it was that she was lacking motivation initially, she thought. So she said, Jess, I'm just lacking motivation. I need someone to keep me accountable. The challenge with that is no one's going to keep you accountable in business. I'm a coach to add some accountability, but if I don't teach you how to be accountable on your own, then I'm not doing my job. I'm just becoming a mum or, you know, a boss to you, which is not sustainable. So we did this session and we went from her thinking it's about motivation, then procrastination, then we dug deeper and we found out, we kept digging. There was like so many layers. And when we got to the real bottom of it, and she's actually still needing to do some work through this, there was a self-worthiness issue at the bottom. And so she went through lack of motivation, procrastination, comparison to other people, all the way down to lack of worthiness. And this was showing up in her life everywhere. She even made a comment about her partner. She was like, if I only had a tiny bit of the motivation that my partner has, I would be successful. And I said, do you realize that what you thought was just a compliment to him was actually a backhanded downgrading of yourself? And you're doing this throughout your entire life. So by working through this, we're not only going to help her. Now we can work on that. So until we find out, we can't work on it, but now we can work on that. If she suddenly has a huge self-belief in herself, self-worthiness, imagine how that would impact her relationships, her business, you know, all areas of her life, not just her business. And that's where I think she's not going to succeed in business unless we worked through that. So I really do think that we need to combine the mindset with that. And by mindset, you know, there's a lot of mindset coaches out there, but we need to use it as a tool rather than saying, okay, mindset, let's just meditate, you know, all day. It's not necessarily going to grow your business. We need to work on that deeply, plus combine it with the simple strategies, because we don't need to make it complicated. Things are simple, but we're always looking for a complicated answer because we decide that it has to be hard. It doesn't.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's funny because something that Lisa knows this, we actually grew up, we actually did our personal growth work through this specific company together. And one of the things that they talk about is intention versus mechanism, right? There's all these different ways that you could do things. Again, people are always looking for the next strategy or the next hack or the next thing, like bulletproof coffee, like let's eat more butter. Mm-hmm. But really all it is that like you have the opportunity to take, it's kind of like redundant to keep saying, take your power back. But that's ultimately what it is, like more so to recognize that all the power to create the things that you really want to create come from the inside out. So if you're not getting the result that you want somewhere, there's an opportunity to look within and to adjust the way that you see that. And again, with your client, talking about that lack of worthiness is ultimately what it came down to. And then also being cognizant of the reflections of it being in these different areas of your life. That's not going to just show up in your business. It's also going to show up in your relationship. It's also going to show up in your spiritual connection with the universe. It's also going to show up, you know, in your physicality, like even like mm-hmm. with the way that your body functions. So there's just so many different ways that it touches on. So I would love to hear, and I know that you've been working with female entrepreneurs for a hot minute. What would be your proudest success case? If you had to, like, if somebody had to give you a testimonial and they were just all like, this is where I started, this is what I created, and like I did this with Jessica, what would that sound like?
So many stories. And I think
just one.
I mean, I've had businesses that I've helped scale up to. I think one of my clients just this month did $90,000 in revenue, and I've helped these businesses scale from starting out. So there's been amazing, amazing business results, but my most fulfilling moments, and most people sign up to me for business growth, but what they say at the end is that, Jess, you can't even understand. I now have this self-belief that I can do it, that I can do whatever I set out to do. And that fulfills me so much more than, wow, my client hit $90,000 in revenue this month, or, you know, this client went from 1K to 10K months. This self-belief fulfills me so much more, because it's not only going to help them in that business, but what if they decide tomorrow that that business they don't enjoy, then they can start another business. And if they believe that they can do it, like wholeheartedly believe that, that is an incredible transformation. And like I said, that's going to impact them for the rest of their lives. People can take your money. People can take your business. People can take, you know, these things from you, but they can't take your unknowing, your soul knowing belief in yourself. So that is something that I think is really, really cool, because no one necessarily thinks they need it. They all think, well, I'm going around life, I just need to know how to grow my business. But without these things, you can't actually get there. And so that is probably the biggest thing that really lights me up the most, is seeing women believing in themselves wholeheartedly that they can do it.
That's lovely. It really is. Like it's an ongoing thing, the gift that keeps on giving.
It sure is.
So I guess that's her one case thing, or it's not really the case study. Yes, it's the end was the one end result that is like most fulfilling.
Yeah.
Cause there's lots of case studies. Yeah. And is that the common thread between all of them then?
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. Like if I said I help all women hit six figures, or I help, well, I don't. I help all women find what they're truly passionate about, get to that goal. And I think the key is that myself as a coach, that I've had many coaches myself, But normally you go to a coach and you say, my goal is I want to hit six figures, or I want to, you know, reach this business goal. And they say, great, here's the steps. What I do is I say, well, why? How does that look in the rest of your life? How can we create a business like we spoke at the beginning to support that? One of my clients came to me and she said, Jess, I really want to grow my business. I currently only have two clients and I want to scale it to reach people all over Australia earning 10K per month. And she was starting at 2K per month. But Jess, I have a catch. I only now want to work 2 to 3 hours a day for 4 days a week. That's it, Jess. But I know that's impossible, she said. And I said, it's not impossible. Now that we know this, because if you just said, I want to scale Australia wide, I want to hit 10K months, I would have said, well, I wouldn't, because that's not me. But other people might have said, okay, we need to max out your work hours. We need to, you know, hustle hard. We need to do this. But I said, no, let's actually change your whole business model, because this is possible. Anything is possible if you know what it is. The problem is we usually don't know what it is, and we're just hustling and working and we don't really know what for. So once we know what we're working for, I was able to help her set up her business model as more of an agency. And so then she could step out more, just be that overseeing role. And it's taken us 6 months to set up this business model to be able to scale at that rate to grow her. But in that time, we've gone from 2 to 7K in 6 months. Plus, we've set up all of the automations in her business so that she doesn't have to touch the things. We've set up her team. We've created this business that now she's continuing to work with me for 6 months. Most of my clients keep coming back. And so now this next 6 months, we're moving into the client acquisition phase. And before, client acquisition would have been a whole ordeal because she would have had to spend so long on sales calls, doing this and doing that. It's all automated. So now she can take on a ton of clients, not have to do the work for those clients because she has a team for it, and she can focus on what she really needs to focus on. But at the same time, she's going through an IVF journey. And so that's taking a massive toll on her health, on her mental well-being, on all of the things. And so I don't just work on business. So I know these personal intimate things because that impacts how she runs the business, how we set the business up. She can't be stressed working 24/7 if she's trying to do IVF, which unfortunately for her did fail in the past, which is really, really sad. So she now needs to prioritize her health. And that's where I do work more as a holistic coach on all areas of your life, because it all works together. You know, if her health is suffering, how can she run the business, you know?
Right. And so I think this pulls us right to the spot of our last question. And I would say, like, in one word, what would you say what is the most common limiting belief that you feel like people are able to dissolve that takes them to that next level in their business?
Here's what I see the problem with limiting beliefs is: people see the top level. And just that example with my other client, she listens to my content, she follows me on social media, I talk about this all the time, but she still didn't apply it to herself because we don't realize, or we don't want to admit that we're doing it ourselves. So she thought her limiting belief was lack of motivation. That's just a symptom. So I see the biggest problem is that we don't actually know what our limiting beliefs are. So that's almost a limiting belief in itself, in discovering what your limiting belief is. Everyone's is completely different. But I think what I would say on that is dig deeper. A lot of the common ones that I do see is that self-belief. But the problem is we're usually never conscious of it. We are always looking externally for the next answer, or we think right. It's lack of motivation, but it's usually.
So when you've worked with these clients and you've gone through the levels and you peel back the layers of the onion, that one core belief that you feel like you've discovered with them at the core of it, what would you say is the most common one that they tend to come up with, or that you tend to help them uncover?
Yeah. So I do think it's the lack of self-belief. So that they think they can't do it, or they think they're not capable of doing it. You know, there's probably so many different iterations of that story in that I don't have the skills, I don't know how, I don't have time, I can't possibly be successful, or maybe it's a fear of success at the same time, but they don't believe that they can do that. So let's just use fear of success as an example, because a lot of people think fear of success, why would I be afraid of being successful? That's what I'm working for. But fear of success comes down to a lack of self-belief, because you might believe that you can be successful, but you believe that when you are successful, things are going to go bad. Like you're going to become arrogant, or, you know, you're going to lose all your money, or your family's going to hate you, or whatever story it is that you've created. But that again comes back to lack of self-belief, because you don't believe that you can be successful and an amazing person and have your family and have all of these things. You don't believe that that amazing state can be possible. And so if we go through life not believing that it's possible, your actions are going to create that reality. So that is the biggest one that I do see when we do dig deeper, is lack of self-belief. If you don't believe what you want is possible and that you're capable of doing that, how is it ever going to be possible?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's so funny, like, again, that misbelief of feeling that you're not worthy enough, or that plays out in so many ways, not trusting yourself, you know, fear of success, fear of failure, you know, like there's just so many different ways. So I'm really excited to see what you end up creating with your clients. And of course, because you love us, and we didn't tell you to do this, no, but because you love us, you've also given us a free gift for our listeners today. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. So because I am so passionate about this limiting beliefs and mindset, I have created a free workbook to actually help you discover what your limiting beliefs are, how to dig deep, and then how to rewrite them and how to start working your way out of it. And so there's a free workbook, and I'm sure you guys will put the link in the show notes or somewhere for people to access that. And I've also put with it a short 10-15 minute video explaining how to use the workbook and how to actually work through that on the four steps that I've come up with. So I have that for the listeners to work through.
Gorgeous. That sounds
Thank
amazing.
You so very much for that. Yeah. I really love that your work does fundamentally come down to mindset. And we talk about it all the time, right? This is mindfulness and navigating through business, and it's not necessarily the strategy, like you said. So Cheryl, we do talk about this all the time, right? Like, what are we going to do to go around this, what we call the peace of mind square, where it's like, you know, anyways, I'm not going to banter here, Cheryl, sorry.
No, that's awesome. And I'm really excited, and I'm so grateful to have you here. I know it's the top of the morning over there, and it's like late afternoon over here, but it's just so great to see that the collective uplifting of the
Thank
world
you.
Is happening.
Yeah,
right?
for that.
Whether 100%. It's people across the globe, whether it's people over here in North America, that we're all ultimately working towards that same goal of like mindset freedom. Because when you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at change. I mean, Wayne Dyer, let's be honest, that was chef's kiss, right?
Yeah.
And so with that's the end of today's episode. Thank you again, Jessica, for coming on and sharing your tools and tips and experiences. And I'm really excited to see what your new clientele go through and the difference they're able to make in the world because they've been able to work with you. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm here with my gorgeous co-host, the one and only Lizzie McHale. And this is Navigating Mindfulness, one more step closer to helping you release any limiting beliefs, helping you change the way that you live your life so that it can be delicious and nutritious. And so with that, thank you so much and have a great day.